Hi, I'm Liz, and this is the online service for Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds, Sunday the 11th of July 2021. If this is your first time watching one of our services, then please do take a note of the contact details at the end and let us know what you thought about the service. And most importantly, if you've any prayer requests or anything that we can be praying with you about, then please do reach out and let us know. This week we'll be listening to the second part in Mark Rock's series on God's kingdom. This week he'll be delivering his message on Jesus and the good news of the kingdom. John and Anne Pelham will be praying for us later, and also we'll have a Bible reading from the book of Luke. Before our all-age talk will be, which is going to be delivered by Caroline, we'll be worshipping together. This is my favourite part, I love it. I think I say this so many times, but hey, first song up, if this has been put together properly, is one of my favourites here. It's Be Thou My Vision, O Lord, My Heart.
My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh my lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore.
Thanks, Paul Whitman, for leading our summer worship this week. And worship is just one of my favourite parts of church life, and being able to just sing our praises to the Lord. And it's just like praying, you know, it just really resonates so deeply within. Next up, we're going to have Caroline giving our all-age talk.
I wonder how many of you have got into this craze this year. How many of you children have got into the craze of what they call fidgets or poppets or whatever you want to call them? I know my Ruby's gone absolutely mad about fidgets and poppets this year. She's gone that mad that when she doesn't necessarily have the money to buy some, she's been making her own. Look how clever and creative this is. If you have got a child in primary school, or if you live with a child in primary school, or if you're a child in primary school, you will know just how big a craze these fidgets are this year. This is the thing that kids seem to be going absolutely crazy for. They are saving up their pocket money like mad just to buy something like this. They're checking the availability in their local shops to make sure that once they've got the money, they can get their hands on these fidgets. There is a shop just opposite the Hub on Broad Lane, a little sweet shop. And the owner of that sweet shop keeps getting more fidgets in stock. And when she does, she puts a sign out to say that she's got them. And when she's sold out, she puts a sign out to say she doesn't have any more in stock. That is how in demand these things are this year for children. Now, some of you may have never heard of a fidget or a poppet. You have probably no idea what I've got in my hand. I must say they are a little bit addictive. I do like to sit and play with them myself. But I want you to have a think back to a time when you were a child. There must have been the toy that you had to have, or the item that was the rage that year. And you just did your level best to save up and just to get something just to have something that everybody else has. For me, when I was a child, it was Cabbage Patch dolls. I absolutely wanted a Cabbage Patch doll more than life itself. I kept having to check the local shop had it in stock. I had to keep saving my money and then wait for Christmas and to get my doll. But I knew if I got her, my life would be complete. For some of you, that might have been the Millennium Falcon. For others, it was Tracy Island. But I'm sure there was a toy that was a craze when you were a kid and you would do absolutely everything you could have to have got your hands on this. In the Bible, there is a story or a parable that Jesus tells us about a man who finds a pearl and he just knows he has got to have it. He's got to have that pearl. And so he sells everything he has to buy that precious, perfect pearl. A pearl that is just a perfect shape. It's the perfect colour and it's the most beautiful thing he has ever seen. Jesus starts his story by saying that the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a perfect pearl, and when he finds out how much it is, he sells everything he has to buy it. Can you imagine selling everything you have for a pearl? Can you imagine selling everything you have for the most biggest and perfect fidget? And a fidget that no one else has got because it's so unique. If you did that, you wouldn't have your bed to sleep in. You wouldn't have any other toys. You wouldn't have much food in your house. You wouldn't have many clothes to wear. But you would have the most perfect pearl or the most unique fidget. Now, Jesus didn't compare the pearl to a fidget. He compared the finding of that pearl to the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying being part of the kingdom or finding the kingdom, a place where you will live with God forever, a place where there is no pain, a place where justice and peace reign, a place where you are with God all the time, is worth more than any possession you can have. You could have nothing in life, absolutely nothing, and yet if you have the kingdom, you have the greatest treasure in all of the world. The good news is that we don't have to sell anything to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus has already paid that price for us on the cross. And so we have access to the kingdom. We have the availability to enter God's kingdom just by accepting Jesus and being welcomed into his kingdom. But one thing remains, we have an invitation to the kingdom and it is up to us to accept it. So my question to you today is, have you accepted your invitation into God's kingdom, into his family, and into his church?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see.
Lord Jesus, we come together today to worship you, our Lord and Saviour. We bring you our praise and adoration, for you are Almighty God. You alone are holy, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the unlimited and unending love you have for the whole world, for each and every one of us. We know, Lord, that you hold no favourites, that all are equal in your eyes, and you want only that everyone should come to know you and love you, to recognise you for who you are and what you did for us all. You are the Lamb who was slain, the once for all perfect sacrifice. We know too that not one of us is deserving of your amazing love, and that nothing we can do will earn that love, because it is free to any and all who believe in you and put their trust and faith in you. That you should respond to our confession of faith by granting us forgiveness through your almighty grace is a mystery to us all. And we confess, Lord, that there are times when we still fail you, when we don't do the right thing, and when we actually do wrong. Yet you still love us, you still have forgiveness to spare for us. So, Lord Jesus, in a small moment of quiet, we bring to you our personal confessions and ask for your forgiveness. We ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will help and enable us to truly repent, to turn aside from sin, from wrong good doing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Father God, we lift before you our nation at this critical time. You know the struggles that we have been through and those which we will continue to face in the coming months. As always, we pray for those in government and in leadership of our key institutions. We pray especially that your wisdom will inform their decisions and that your strength will uphold all those who are carrying heavy burdens. We think of the stress which so many have had to deal with and pray that above all, many will turn to you for the strength they need. As we look around the world, we see so many problems. Help us not to feel overwhelmed, but to remember that this is your world, given to us to care for. Stir up our courage, our passion and determination to do all that we can to tackle inequality, injustice, poverty and oppression. Keep us from staying silent in the face of so much that we know is wrong, that breaks your heart. Within our own city, church, gatherings, home groups, friendship groups and families, help us to reflect your generous heart, your love, your compassion, so that others may come to know you as their God and King. And so, Lord, we lift our prayers to you, knowing that you are our constant rock and the sustainer of all things. We learn every day more about your great love for us and pray that you would teach us and lead us as we seek to love you more. Amen.
Amen.
The reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21 and 38 to 44. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought Jesus, all of who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on them, each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was a Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that's why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the second sermon in a series on the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus declares, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." The good news of the kingdom of God is the central theme of the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus is the creator and redeemer of the world. Everything has been made for and by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verse 16 tells us, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him." Now, ta panta is the Greek for all things. We are talking about angels, humans, animals, birds, plants, forests, soil, oceans, time, space, and also the incredible possibilities of inventing wheelbarrows, and of course, crafting songs and poems about them. Now, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God wants both heaven, the invisible realm, and earth, the visible realm, to be filled with his royal kingly shalom. Zechariah 8 verse 4 tells us, "Once again men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there." What a wonderful picture of shalom on the streets of Israel. Just picture it. Boys and girls larking about with wheelbarrows, having a wonderful time in the woods. What joy! Isaiah 11 gives us another picture of a cheeky toddler in nappies grabbing a kind, good-humoured cobra. And in this vision of the future, snakes are on their very best behaviour. But the kingdom comes in stages. The kingdom has arrived decisively in Jesus, who is the King of Kings, disguised as a humble carpenter. This kingdom brings the forgiveness of sins, the royal pardon for our many failures to walk in the ways of shalom. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals a paralyzed man and announces the forgiveness of sin. We know now that anyone can enter into this kingdom because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Have you entered into God's kingdom? Jesus said, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, the kingdom comes with the power of the Holy Spirit as Jesus heals and restores the broken, groaning world. The Gospels are filled with Jesus healing blind, deaf, lame people. Lepers never had it so good. Jesus also confronts the unseen powers of darkness that enslave people. We see this in the story of the crippled woman in Luke chapter 13. This woman is bent over, stooping in great discomfort, and Jesus heals her. Jesus tells us that Satan has kept her bound for 18 long years. The kingdom breaks into her life, and she is restored to enjoy her status as God's beloved daughter. The New Testament teaches that Satan enslaves humans in his cruel kingdom, but Jesus sets the captives free in his merciful kingdom. In Luke chapter 4, we read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favor," a reference to the year of Jubilee. Notice that the kingdom brings shalom into all areas of life. This is verse 1 of our hymn: "We seek your kingdom throughout every sphere." Think about the story of little pint-sized Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who meets Jesus in Luke 19. He says, "Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." We could say that the kingdom is invading economic life. Can we imagine a top footballer like Harry Kane doing this? "I found Jesus, and I've decided to give away half my income to the poor." However, there is opposition to the kingdom. You see, the kingdom is here, but not fully here. We catch glimpses of God's kingdom, and then it's gone. We see the kingdom advancing, and then it fizzles out. In the Welsh Revival of 1905, there were thousands and thousands of conversions. Miners were belting out "Bread of Heaven," on fire for God, and then it's gone. Curiously, the pit ponies stopped working in the mines because the converted miners showed them loving kindness. They stopped hitting them. Think again of the Garden of Eden. Now, crafty Satan, the accuser, frustrates the advances of the kingdom by sowing thorns and weeds. Study the parable of the weeds in Matthew 13. The devil entices humans to serve false gods, and he's quite good at this. Let's look at idolatry today. I want to thank Duncan Stowe for helping me here. You see, modern contemporary idolatry is quite different from worshipping a golden calf. In 1989, John Westwood changed his name by deed poll to John Anthony Portsmouth Football Club Westwood. And John has a tattoo on his chest that proclaims his idolatry: "I'm Portsmouth till I die." His badges are named after the club. His wife and children have left him, and his finances are in a complete mess because of this obsession. Now, John doesn't worship a statue, but he has replaced God with his football team. But We can enjoy football. It is a good gift. It's incredibly good to remember that you don't have to choose between God and his wonderful creation. In 2014, we heard about a young English lad called Danny Bowman who was taking 200 selfies a day. Danny thought he was ugly and he craved a photo where he looked very handsome. He was so miserable he was going to kill himself, but his mum saved him. Was he bowing down to a camera? No. You see, taking a photo, even a selfie, can be done in a good way. But we have to understand the idolatry of physical perfection. Gerald Cole, the famous celebrity, spends about £1,000 a day on her personal appearance because she wants to look perfect. And this sends out a terrible message to many young people. It can create misery for millions who follow celebrities like her, because they feel this terrible insecurity about their appearance. Another example of contemporary idolatry is the eccentric French footballer Eric Cantona, who has made a false god of science. Recently, Eric delivered a speech to many footballers, including Messi and Ronaldo, and he said this: "Soon the science will fix the cells, and so we become immortal." I'll translate for you. Science will give us everlasting life. Now, sorry, Eric, I respect you as a footballer with your silky skills, but do not preach foolish pagan sermons like that. Science is a gift from God, but it is not the saviour. Our great God and Saviour wants to set us free from the power and slavery of idolatry. But you know, this isn't just good news for individuals. How does God's kingdom advance in a family? Imagine a young man addicted to heroin. The misery it causes. His mum, Tina, is ground down by her son's addiction. Dave steals all her hard-earned cash to buy the drugs. Imagine the joy of that family when Dave repents and believes in Jesus. He stops taking drugs and he makes his mum a fantastic cake for her birthday. Thank you, mum. You see, the kingdom is advancing in that family. How does the kingdom advance in a business? Wonderful story, this. Walgreens is a huge American company. Just like Boots, they sell aspirins, toothbrushes, soap, that kind of stuff. Now, Randy Lewis is a Christian, and he has pioneered a faith-filled outreach program to thousands of deaf, blind, and autistic employees who get the same pay as able-bodied employees. And now, about 40% of the employees at Walgreens are people who struggle with disability. And this program has created an incredibly loving and merciful atmosphere in the workplace. People are helping each other to do the work and they're rejoicing in this loving atmosphere. It's amazing. You see, God loves it when deaf, blind, and autistic people have fun at work and make good money. Think about Luke chapter 4. You see, here we have an example of God's kingdom invading a huge corporation. How could the kingdom advance in a poor village in Bengal in India? Now, this is a true story. Mr. Khan is an accomplished human trafficker. He claims he has kidnapped and sold thousands of women and girls. Indeed, he has confessed to killing 400 girls when they tried to escape from his clutches. He bribes the police and government officials, so he has no fear of ever being arrested. Genesis 6, verse 6 tells us that God's heart is filled with pain and grief when he sees such wicked, brutal violence. Now let me tell you a parable I have crafted based on this true story. A group of Christians are led by God to pray and fast about Khan and his human trafficking. And one day, Mr. Khan is using his wheelbarrow to bury some girls he has recently murdered, when he has a powerful vision of Jesus, who says to him, "What are you doing with that wheelbarrow? Repent or you will die." Now Khan is cut to the heart and he repents of his sin and he believes in Jesus. He then tells the corrupt police officers about his conversion and they repent and believe the good news. Instead of taking bribes, they decide to rescue and protect innocent trafficked women. Local business people hear about this and they join the team and they establish a business in Bengal to employ the rescued women, give them excellent jobs. Frank is a plastic surgeon from Cornwall and he hears about this good news and he takes early retirement to focus on providing cosmetic surgery for the women who have been so horribly battered. And then a gifted Christian poet, Derek from Barnsley, hears about this and crafts some poignant cut diamond poems about the conversion of Mr. Khan and the transformation of the local constabulary. Local politicians read the poems on the beach in Goa in India, and they are inspired to change government policies about human trafficking. Mr. Khan is now using his wheelbarrow to grow food for the women he once abused. Notice how humans can use wheelbarrows to do good and also to do evil, to serve Jesus and his kingdom or Satan and his. This parable shows us how the kingdom of God can advance in different spheres of life. And all of these spheres matter to our Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is the King of Kings. He is Lord over every sphere of life. Abraham Kuyper, a former Dutch Prime Minister, put it like this: if God is sovereign, then his lordship must extend over all of life, and it cannot be restricted to the walls of the church or within the Christian orbit. But we know, don't we, that there is a battle going on. The kingdom advances into families, into the lives of drug addicts, into culture, into media, trade, politics, plastic surgery, poetry, and art. But human frailty and dark powers frustrate it. One day, the kingdom will arrive in its fullness when Jesus returns. One day, cheeky toddlers will play with sweet, affable, gentle cobras. One day, wheelbarrows will be used only for shalom. And one day, violent men like Julius Caesar and Mr. Khan will be no more. One day, the entire creation will praise and honor the King who was crucified for our salvation and the healing of his beloved world. In the final sermon, we will be looking at the kingdom in the future. We will be talking about powerful, wonderful resurrection bodies and our future home, the new heaven and the new earth. Let us pray for a few moments. Oh Lord God, thank you so much for the good news of your kingdom, which brings healing and joy to so many, to rescue your world from darkness and despair. We pray that we would seek your kingdom with all our hearts and give our lives to Jesus, who is the King of all. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
I really hope you've enjoyed our service this week, and you know, it'd be really nice to hopefully meet you at one of our gatherings. The details are on the website as well, and there'll be some contact information coming up after this section. That hymn that we just listened to, "You're the Word of God the Father, you're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land." Let's just close in some prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for the good news. We're so thankful for Jesus, for his boldness, for the hope and salvation that we have. And Lord, we just want you to open up our hearts, Lord. Keep us listening to what you have for us to do, Lord, and keep us just striving to build that relationship with you through Christ, Lord. We pray that as we come out of the midst of this pandemic and all that has been happening, we know that we can rely on you, we can have our trust in you, because you are our strength, you are our stronghold. From the beginning of time and even unto the future, Lord, your love and your promises never change, and we're so grateful for that. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.